This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Keep the water in the lake. That was the plea yesterday from property owners along Lakes McQueeny, Placid, Meadow, and Gonzales. They were in court yesterday arguing that if the Guadalupe Blanco River Authority goes through with their plan to release the lake water, they will be financially high and dry. To find out more about the court arguments and what could happen next, we're joined by Josh Ball. He covers environmental issues for the San Antonio Express News. Josh, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Kirkpatrick is the Texas Public Radio General Assignments reporter, and he's been all over this story. Brian, welcome to The Source.
Good to be here, Dave.
Our phone lines are open. We really would like to hear from folks out in those lake areas. What do they think is happening? How do they feel this is going down? Do they think they're getting a fair shot at keeping water in those lakes? Or if you're concerned about public safety, if you're with the GBRA, we want to hear from you. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. You could also email questions and comments to The Source at tpr.org and tweet at us at tprsource. Well, first, let's go to Brian Kirkpatrick. You were at the hearings at the event yesterday in court. I understand that we do have some audio clips from you, and they are in the system that you can use those from your reporting. So, Brian, tell us what happened.
Great, Dave. Hundreds of residents who reside along those four area lakes went to State District Court in Seguin yesterday to fight a plan by the GBRA to begin draining the waterways on September 16th. If there was any winner in court on Wednesday, I would think it was the attorneys for the plaintiffs. They made some pretty good holes, I thought, in GPR's main argument to drain the lakes, that is public safety. Some third-party engineer reports did not say the dams were in imminent danger of collapse. Some Lake McQueeny residents also testified the collapse at Lake Dunlap caused no major downstream damage and no loss of life. Jenny Cox says she was at home on Lake McQueeny shortly after the collapse at Lake Dunlap and said that's what she saw. And Bob Pritchard, who lives on McQueeny, he's a retired banker from San Antonio, thought that the plaintiffs had a very good day in court because he didn't really see them, their attorneys, the GBRA attorneys, showing a case for something was going to happen suddenly.
You may have heard a little bit of that today with some of the engineering reports. It's really not in there that there's imminent danger. There just isn't in those engineering reports.
Other lake residents testified no sirens on the dam's downstream went off when the collapse occurred. So some question how committed the GBRA really is to public safety. Another lake resident testified she called the GBRA's headquarters to find out if there was anything she should do, and she said no one was in danger. A former GBRA engineer testified that when one floodgate fails, it actually reduces pressure on other floodgates and found it unlikely some kind of massive chain reaction floodgate collapse on the lakes would happen. The GBRA says if a rusty hinge could fail on one floodgate, then those of similar age could fail on the others. And they're sticking to that story. Most of the floodgates are around 90 years old. They want the court, as far as the lake residents, what they want done, they want the court to order the GBRA to find them some short-term solutions to keep people away from the dams until a long-term fix is at hand. That includes buffer zones to keep people farther away from the floodgates and bigger warning buoys, signs, and barges. The GBRA says they've pretty much done that now, and it's not really working. They've been showing those video clips in court of people crawling right on top of the dam. And they say that's a very dangerous thing to do with the condition of these floodgates. The Guadalupe County attorney, he says he was working on a lake ordinance to help law enforcement keep people away from the dams, but the GBRA dropped its interest in that pretty soon, and he said it would have put the ordinance into effect. They would have had to put that ordinance into effect to make it work, and he said it would have been constitutional to enforce. Lake Placid resident Wendy Salazar says even with GBRA's neglect, the lake associations just want to take control of those floodgates.
People that live on these lakes said, fine, we'll fix our own dams. But what we're asking you is in the process, please do not dewater them and devalue property and harm the economics.
And the last thing, Dave, that came out of the court really was a couple of resolutions. The Guadalupe County Commissioners and Navarro ISD issued resolutions to say, please don't drain these lakes.
So to bottom line it for us, Josh Ball from the Express News, right now the lakes will not be dewatered, not be drained starting Monday, which was the original plan.
That's correct. The judge issued a temporary restraining order just to prevent GBRA from moving forward while this hearing is still taking place. So they did a full day yesterday. They're going to be back in court on Monday, and the judicial proceedings are expected to last potentially through midweek into Wednesday. And so he's basically said, just don't do anything until we finish our arguments. He'll make a ruling. He'll issue that ruling, and it'll either be GBRA has the authority to move forward with the draining of the lakes, or there's a temporary injunction that will then likely be appealed to the appeals court. And then also kind of congruent with that would be a moving on towards a trial.
The argument that the landowners have seems like they're mainly talking about calling this a taking from them, that somehow that obviously if the lake goes away, their lakefront property is going to lose a lot of value. But the question seems to be, is that the responsibility of the Guadalupe Blanco River Authority to maintain the values of those landowners?
Those landowners are insisting that the GBRA has a statutory obligation to maintain those dams and rebuild them. I think that this case is probably going to boil down to whether non-constituent, non-ratepayer group of people can dictate what a governmental entity does with its own infrastructure.
And so, Brian Kirkpatrick, you've been talking to a lot of people for quite a while in this area. What's the mood out there?
It's interesting. The lake property owners are obviously very highly suspicious of the GBRA. Star witness yesterday was this former GBRA executive, James Murphy.
He was their number two, right?
Right. And he testified that talk has been going on for years. He said at least for 10 years. He was there from like 2008 to 2016, but he said high-level talks were going on, nothing formal, but, you know, they were saying, why don't we just walk away from these money-losing dams? And they said, well, you know, we would probably have to drain them. And what if people complained? And then they said, well, we'll declare a public emergency, which is playing out right now. So it's been this kind of thinking has been going on for quite some time. This is according to a guy that's very high up and formerly in the GBRA
But what does that mean, Josh?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the GBRA attorneys painted Mr. Murphy as kind of cantankerous, disgruntled ex-employee. He had hopes of becoming the general manager when Bill West retired. He applied for the position, and Kevin Pettison won out, and Kevin apparently fired him momentarily.
But even if what he says is true, so what?
Well, look, I mean, if you go back and look at annual reports that have been written by the GBRA going back 20 years, in 2009, there was a switch from 08 to 2009, and that 2009 report, they raised the flag, said, guys, you know, we have a major problem. These are decrepit dams. They're aging out of life, and we have no money to fix them. And so, I mean, I think Brian's right. I mean, there has been a long-term discussion for 10 years now that there's a situation brewing here.
And then they had two dams that actually did fail. So they're not just making stuff up. There are two dams that did collapse. So that seems to be a reality. We're going to talk more when we come back from this break. The phone number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The loss of these lakes will be severe for these communities along the Guadalupe River. It will damage the tax base. It will damage commerce in Guadalupe County. It will certainly change the future for this region. What can be done? Is compromise available? What do you want to see happen? The number is 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this break.
Hispanic Heritage Month begins September 15th. Activists say commemorations must stretch longer than 30 days.
We really have to demand art, history, and culture for Hispanic Heritage Month and every month after that.
Next time on Fronteras, how celebrating art, history, and culture can help reverse racist stereotypes that lead to acts of violence. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Coming up in the next half hour, we're going to be talking about redistricting Texas. There is a hearing in San Antonio at 4 o'clock this afternoon where a legislative redistricting hearing is going to be held here, and they want to hear from our local residents. We'll talk about what's at stake. But right now, we're talking about the Guadalupe Blanco River Authority versus the people who have property along four lakes that still have water in them. What's the future for them? The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980 for you to join the conversation. So, Josh Ball, Express News reporter, you've been covering this. What is the responsibility of the Guadalupe Blanco River Authority?
The plaintiffs allege that they have that the GBRA has a statutory obligation to maintain these dams. But if you look at the legislation from 1933 and 1935 that created GBRA, it gives wide authority for the GBRA to do many things. But nowhere in that legislation does it say the GBRA must, it shall maintain dam infrastructure. And I think that I'm assuming that we're going to see the lawyers get to that point on Monday or Tuesday in this hearing, because I think that throughout all the discussion about loss of property values and whether there's an imminent danger for public safety, I think that it boils down to whether there is, in fact, or is not an obligation to maintain these dams. And that said, the GBRA has been clear, and they have been clear for over a decade now, that these dams lose money, that the only way to fund those dams is through hydroelectric, and that's just a losing endeavor at this point.
Let's go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. We sure would like to hear from some folks out there by those lakes. Let's go to Eve. Hi, Eve. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. And I want to say how important it is to our entire community. I do not live on the lake, and I never have, but I'm a long-term citizen of Seguin, Texas. And I love this community. It's a great community, and the revenue, the tax revenue from the lakes are extremely important to our entire community, and also other revenues that are generated through all the folks that live out in those areas, and just our overall image of a beautiful place in Texas. So I say, you know, do not do this. I think it will be devastating to our community. I think that, you know, hopefully the governor will step in and be against this. We pay lots of money for tax abatements to try to bring in other businesses. So why do we want to just kick out really good ones, which could effectively happen if we lose this great, great resource that we already have here? It's
all right, Eve, thank you for the call. What about some sort of handoff, soft handoff of the lake and the maintaining of the dams to an organization that can be brought about by the property owners? So Brian Kirkpatrick, there's been some talk of that?
Yeah, three of the lakes are looking into these some kind of special taxing district. That way they could levy taxes on themselves for repairs. But in many cases, there's not enough of those homeowners to go around. So there would be some very high tax burden there, and county voters would have to approve it, even though they're the only ones being taxed. But they're looking at that. That is one solution.
But that is not happening right now in the timeline that the Guadalupe Blanco right. River Authority has laid out. So if they dewater or drain these lakes, Josh Ball, can these property owners still come around and say, we want to do that and then put the water back in?
There's absolutely efforts continuing even as this litigation is occurring. The Friends of Lake McQueenie, the Preserve Lake Dunlap Association, they're working on forming WCIDs, which are these water control improvement districts, which, what Brian said, have taxing authority. They have to go on to a general election ballot, and so they're targeting at this point the May election. I know that was testified yesterday by Mr. Worth. So they're hoping to create that district. Their contention, though, is that if they can create that district coming up soon and then put the bond election on the May ballot, if the water has been removed from the lakes, they believe their property values will go down, which would mean that their rate would have to double to be able to generate the same kind of revenue that they would need in order to help fund the creation of new dams.
Just what some folks have been talking about, the foundations have been dried out. It's called the losing of the water does do damage to the homes around the area.
Absolutely. People have talked about their bulkheads are afraid that bulkheads are going to crash into the land, that retaining walls might fall out, that septic tanks could leak, that trees could die. And there's a lot of calamity that's been expressed that could be the offshoot from the dewatering of these lakes.
And water wells drying up too.
All right, another caller. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew, thanks for calling in. The number is 210-614-8980. You're on the air.
Oh, I was wondering if in y'all's reporting, you know, where are residents of surrounding areas, are they open to increase taxes or rates to maintain the dams?
Right, Matthew, thank you for that. So I was real unclear about that too. So are you telling me, Brian, that the people who only have lakefront property would have to pay into the taxes to maintain the lakes?
That's correct, but it would end up on the May ballot for consideration. But the tax, they want to point out, would only apply to lake residents and not all county residents.
And but so everyone in the county, Josh, would vote on that?
No, only the people who are registered voters who live within the taxing district would actually have that on their ballots.
And but the taxing district will be drawn like really tightly around the lake?
It would only be lakefront properties.
But a lot of those people actually live in Houston and other parts of Texas.
So there's this discussion, again, occurred yesterday at the hearing. There's about 700 property owners on McQueenie. But when you start to carve out the people who are not registered voters in Guadalupe County, that number shrinks to maybe 30% of the 700. And so the people who live in Houston or who live in San Antonio who own that property can write checks to help the campaign, but ultimately it'll come down to the voters who own property in that district and are registered to vote at those homes.
But it is a very narrow view that only people who live on the lakes benefit from the lakes. I mean, they do provide lots of improvements for the area. I mean, is it a public good to have a lake?
Oh, sure. You know, first of all, if you've never been on them, they're tiny, but they're beautiful little lakes. There's Sun's Island up near Seguin, which is a big resort that attracts 15,000 people a month during their peak season. So that's a lot of people coming through a little town, spending money on gas. You got boat repair shops. Ski school, right? We had which is not a movie, but then we had a, or is it? Then we had, we stopped by a bar called The Beer and Bait Stop, I think, you know, and she talked about fishermen coming through and anyway.
So it has economic importance for the entire region. Let's go to Joe on the phones. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate the reporting. I think you guys are doing a great job. And I just wanted to, you know, I know it was mentioned earlier about how GBRA, back to the 30s, it shows that they, I guess, technically don't have to be held responsible for and I'm trying to remember the context of it, but essentially, you know, they can just walk away from the dams. And I think part of the problem with that is, so I live on McQueenie. I've been on McQueenie for about 18 years. I'm about a half mile from the dam. I'm about a quarter mile from those sirens that did not go off. And I've never once received any communication from GBRA about this risk, you know, about the lifespan of the dams or the fact that, you know, at some point, I mean, common sense tells you they have a lifespan, but, you know, it's their responsibility to communicate that to the residents. And I never once received a communication on it. Yet when there's a flood, I get a text, I get an email, I get a call, the sirens go off, there's all kinds of warnings. So
Joe, tell me real quick, what do you want to see happen? What do you think, what could happen?
Well, first of all, you guys mentioned it up front, and I think it is the first and foremost concern for everybody is safety. And we believe GBRA's safety side of this is overblown. So we want to determine whether that's the case or not. But as far as funding goes, GBRA apparently makes a lot of money off selling water, but I'm told that budget is separate from the dams. That shouldn't fly. The fact that we've gotten here, they are culpable in some way and they should help pay for it.
All right, Joe, thank you so much. So let's go to this. Was the safety issue overblown, Josh?
Well, so stepping back for a moment, the communication issue, you know, the GBRA got dinged pretty badly by the Sunset Commission for failure to communicate well with its constituents. The new administration there is going above and beyond, I think, and in my experience, having watched this play out over the last couple months, they have been increasing that communication. So I think that people on the lakes should see that playing out. Now, on the safety issue, you know, there's testimony yesterday that the lakes levels barely rose when Dunlap went out. I think that what's being missed here is the countless incidents where you see people actually climbing on the spill gates. The video has been provided by GBRA showing this. And if you're standing on that spill gate, or if you're in a boat just above it or in a boat just below it, and that spill gate goes out, there's going to be instantaneous death there. And that's what they've been incapable of preventing.
Just one thing I wanted to add on top of what he just said. They replayed the Dunlap collapse video that we've all seen. It's getting a lot of hits on the internet, but they replayed that and said, and the lead attorney for the GBRA said, you know, a catastrophe like this could happen. And there were actually audible giggles going on in court by these lakeside residents. They just don't believe in this catastrophe scenario.
All right, let's go last caller with Elizabeth. Elizabeth, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you, David. I just want to point to broaden the discussion here beyond the recreational purpose that's developed, but these are 90-year-old dams. There was a reason why they were built, and I don't think it was initially recreation. I think probably water supply during severe drought, and also control of the Guadalupe River, which is notoriously vicious and has caused rampant flooding and destruction in communities downstream. And I think flood control may be a purpose.
Elizabeth, I got your call, but really short on time. So Josh Ball, your reaction?
So the dams they're not flood control. They were not for irrigation. They were built specifically to electrify the South. They were built in 1920s and 30s to generate electricity for private electricity users.
So where are we now, Brian Kirkpatrick? We continue with this court hearing, right?
Yeah, it'll resume on Monday at 10 a.m. We'll probably hear some more about, you know, the engineering, the public safety issues, the economic and personal devastation the dewatering could do. That was some pretty effective testimony, hearing from lake residents themselves.
Well, we really haven't heard from the GBRA, right, Josh?
Right. They have not. They've just been defending themselves so far. They'll start calling witnesses next week.
And they gave opening statements?
Yes.
And what good clues did they give us about where they're going with this?
Well, I mean, I think they kind of focused on, the public safety issue, and also whether people who don't own the governmental infrastructure can have control over it. So can lakeside owners who don't own the water or the dam control how that dam is operated?
So sketch me out a perfect scenario, just out of your imagination, hallucinate what could be the best thing that could happen for the GBRA and for those landowners.
Well, I think the landowners hope that there's some sort of an injunction that keeps water in the lake, in all the lakes, and they move extremely quickly to create their taxing districts and start working on plans and construction to get new dams there so they can have water in their lakes for the next 100 years.
And I think there's also hope sometime big-time developer might step in and take these dams off their hands in some capacity. Or they like gates ready to go if these lakes are drained and replace them immediately. That's their big fear. They'll be drained and stay drained.
Is there any way that they can speed up the calendar on this election? Can Governor Abbott step in and facilitate, making this work for everyone?
It appears unlikely that the governor is going to do anything. Now, you have Donna Campbell, who's written a letter to the Texas Water Development Board and asked them to rewrite their policy that would allow state funds to be applied to the reconstruction of these dams. If the state steps in, I think that would be something that would accelerate the timelines.
Yeah, but that money is tightly controlled. It is for a specific purpose. It's for providing drinking water for areas and drainage and flood control. That's not this. This is something entirely different. But we do have, it's a situation. I wouldn't call it a crisis. I would call it, but it's a serious situation, especially for these folks on the river. It would be great if there were some sort of state leadership that could help facilitate a handoff so that we could keep water in the lakes and allow the GBRA to walk away without having to have any damages, right?
Yes, but I mean, it should be said that GBRA has been very specific that from the day they have the funding in hand, it's a 3-year process to design and rebuild these dams. There's no quick fix here.
All right, and Brian Kirkpatrick, you'll be out there on Monday, right?
Sure will, Dave. Thank you.
All right, and Josh Ball, you'll be there too?
I will.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Ken Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia, and Jan Ross Piedad. Dan Katz is TPR's news director.